The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Today is Easter Sunday, as you will not have missed. It is, for Christians and for Catholics, one of the most sacred days of the year. And I'm joined by a man who has been celebrating that in the literal sense of the word. He's celebrating Easter Sundays for, I think now, 55 years at this stage. Father Brian D'Arcy, good morning.
Good morning, Anthony. How are you? And happy Easter to you and to all your listeners too. Yeah, 55 years as a priest, all right, yes. And a lot more as a man as well, a baptized Christian as well. But every Easter is different. And we were doing the ceremonies all week and crowds were coming back to what they used to be a little bit anyway. And it was lovely. And, the world kind of needs some good news and some hope today, no matter where you are. So that's what the Easter message is, there's always hope. There's always, this is not the end. There is another place. Sin has been overcome. Evil has been overcome. And the books will be well balanced and we can rejoice and be happy. The whole of creation has been redeemed.
I know this is a slightly odd question, Brian, but when you say that thing of the best is to follow effectively, do you think that those who describe themselves now as Christian and Catholic innately and intrinsically believe in that? Or is it a sort of a generalized spirituality and a sense of well-being and community that applies?
It's probably both, Anton. It's probably both. I wouldn't like to put it as live well and get something. It doesn't matter what you kind of life you have here. No, I actually believe that heaven and hell begin and we share in them here in heaven. And we make the choice and we make the choices to which we like. And if we want to choose good, then good will be our choice and good will be our reward. You're right. More and more people. I've been dealing a lot with younger suicides this last year, and people, the parents and family and loved ones of that, they're always saying, are they safe? Will they be all right? And you try to explain that, a loving God knows, understands everything and understands better than even the person themselves. The choices are always good. And then they'll always say, but nobody ever come back to tell us. And I say, well, actually, that's what Easter says. Somebody did come back to tell us. And that's what we believe. And is it historically, the accuracy of the biblical accounts are fairly well established by now. We somebody did come back, and that's what Easter is. There's somebody who cares enough to come back to make sure that we have a happy ending and a happy eternity. Now, what that eternity is, I don't know.
How different are you finding the church and your congregation now than when you would have first started? Because there is a liberalism in certain aspects of the Catholic Church that would have been heretical 50 years ago. At the same time, there is a change in society and a significant drift away from the church.
Away from the churches, I think, people in Islam will tell you it's the same thing, that there's a younger generation who will not be bound by the kind of strictures that other generations were. And I think that's fine. When we were growing up, my parents used to tell me about how Lent was when they were young and what dances were like and they were young, and priests coming, beating them with a stick in case they'd be too close, and so forth. and that was it. And priests walking around the road.
What was the phrase of the dances? Was it leave space for the Holy Spirit?
Yes, just leave space for the Holy Spirit, and a stick would go down between them. I mean, people sometimes laugh at that. I actually saw that in action on one occasion. So that kind of oppressive, all embracing thing and killjoy thing, we sort of jumped out of that in our time in the 60s and moved on from that. And there's another generation now that the strictures and the institutional religion is not not able to speak to properly. And I know I'm part of that institution, and I know that I'm extremely limited in what I can do with it. But I also know that I can't go on the way I used to, and I have to learn from young people. And I spend my life with young people and footballers and band fellas and all the rest of it, trying to learn how to communicate a merciful God to a people who need it as much as any other generation, but they just don't need it packaged in the same way.
With the greatest of respect, and I mean this with the greatest respect, can you do that if you're not of the generation that uses the particular media? Case in point, your own example. When you were in your 20s, when you were in your 30s, you were involved in music journalism, you were involved in the dance halls, you were involved in broadcasting. I mean, obviously, the thought for the day with Terry for so long, Terry Wogan.
Yes.
Do we need, does that require a priest of their late 20s, of their early 30s, who's on TikTok, who's on Snapchat, who's on YouTube? Can that be done by somebody so generationally separate?
I agree with you that it is more and more difficult. And, the difficulty is that the younger priests are generally speaking more conservative than my generation of priests. And that is a major difficulty. And,
are they?
Yes. It would be the same not only for the Catholic Church, but I know that speaking with Presbyterians, Methodists, and Church of Ireland, as we do up here quite a lot, they find the same thing, that the people who now decide to go into the ministry are a lot more strict than people of experience are. But you're right. There's a way of doing things. But I also think there is that people understand genuine, sincere communication, and that's what I'd be trying to learn as much as I can. Tell them what I don't know, explain what I don't know. But also, there is a value in experience, which young people do appreciate if they know it's genuine. And you've lived life, you have made the mistakes, you have come to some level of respect for yourself, some integrity, and some level of a God who is understanding, and actually God is the center of it. I'm not the center of it. The church is not the center of it. The Pope's not the center of it. But, put it to you this way. If I want to love God, nobody can stop me. And tell one more thing. If God wants to love me, nobody can stop me. So I think that's a very basic line to draw on it. If your heart is good, you're on the right road.
When you say that the younger generation has a tendency to be more conservative, is it that that's what the church is now attracting, or that it takes time to knock the corners off them?
I actually think it is that the image of the priesthood is of fellas like me who are old, and maybe sometimes even older, younger people than me who are older than me, if you know what I mean, in their attitude, and younger people who maybe not able to make their way in a vibrant world. Find some refuge. There's not that many joining, but there are some joining. And I would always ask them, do you want to live with a crowd of grandfathers? Why do you want to live with a crowd of grandfathers?
Some of them might have a certain charm, Brian.
But that's a very good question. Why would they? Is it security, or is it because that they want to bring something new? So not all of them. Now, there are some great guys, and unfortunately, it's only guys. I actually have this thing, Anton, and it's not to be controversial or anything else. I actually don't think there's a shortage of vocations. I actually think there's just a shortage of male celibate vocations. I think there are plenty of good people willing to do it. See, in my day, if you wanted to do good, you had to join an order and go to Africa. Now you can go with Trokra for 2 years and come back and learn from that and give something of your great value to that. There's just different ways of doing good. And I think that's fine. God will get on with that. I just think there's a stricture that you have to be a male celibate to be a priest. That has got to change and change soon.
Do you think there's any prospect?
Well, the way things work in big institutions is, they're like ships in the night. They're very hard to turn. But generally speaking, they don't turn until they have to. And then eventually they run out of people and they have to do something. And that's when the faith on the ground upright comes and the hierarchical structure breaks down and the communal structure of the Acts of the Apostles takes over and new generation, new seed, new life, new hope, Easter, in one word, happens.
You described yourself as one of the sort of the grandfather set and as yes. older. Inside your head, what age are you?
17. I'm going on 18 now. I can stop playing minor football soon.
But is that the case? When you wake up and when you're standing in front of the mirror shaving, it is a 17-year-old that's looking back at you?
No, it's my father that's looking back at me. When I'm shaving. But you know, my attitude, my head, my, you know, my, I'm 17 is an exaggeration, but, you know, I still am, you know, I'm, thanks be to God, my mind is young, my attitude is young, I have a fresh idea, I love mixing with young people, I see they're fantastic people, they're not the same sort of church people as they used to be, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't find good and good ways of looking with them. Leave it to God, God's in charge and God will sort everything out. It's not about me, it's not about institutions. It's about God's mercy, God's love, God's joy.
I mentioned the sort of the dance halls and the radio, the music, yeah. Journalism and all of the rest of it. You've had the most remarkable career. You've had the Sunday World Column since 1649.
Yeah, from the Battle of the Boyne, just after, you know, the Battle of the Boyne in 1690.
Yeah, now we turn for live coverage of King Billy to Father Brian Darcy. What has been your favourite sort of era of your own? What has been the point that you say, if I could go back to one element of it? Now, I'm not dispatching you, but just if you look across the totality, what's the bit you would return to if you could?
Yeah, I loved the era of, my era of greatest learning was when I was working in the communication centre and at the same time going to ballrooms at night and at the same time editing a religious magazine. And out of that came the Sunday World. And the initial thing in 1976 when I was asked to join the Sunday World and the opposition from other clergy and bishops and, you know, I mean, I remember going to do a cousin's wedding and not say where I was going to do the cousin's wedding, but I went in to sign the document that you have to do if you're in a new, and not your own parish. You have to get permission from the resident parish priest. And my first cousin was getting married and I had done the preparations and everything. And I went in to get the document from the priest and the priest wrote down, what's your name? And I said, Brian Darcy, Father Brian Darcy. And he looked at me. He says, you're not the scoundrel that writes for the Ragus of the World, are you? And I said, I write for the Sunday World, but I don't see it as a rag and I don't think I'm a scoundrel. But he says, you'll never stand on my altar. Get out of here. And I did then. My first cousin, he then went on to marry my first cousin, whose name he didn't even know. And he had to ask him his name when he was doing the wedding. And I was sitting there, my family all around me down the church, trying to keep the peace. So, like, you know, as you say, there was no great glory writing for the Sunday World. There was no great glory doing the broadcasts and controversial broadcasts. I also loved and still do love the Radio 2 slot, which I've had for a long, long time. I did 18 years with Terry and 9 with Chris Evans and now with Zoe Ball. You're talking to a new audience that, you know, doesn't know God, doesn't care about Brian Darcy or anybody else. But sometimes you give them a reason to live and, that's it, you know. So I've been very privileged and able to do that. And it is something that I don't take for granted. And it's something that I pray about. And I certainly wouldn't want to misuse those opportunities. I try and actually work extremely hard to make sure that I'm giving that I'm not doing God an injustice by what I do or say or write.
I'm loath to sidle up beside Terry Wogan and Zoe Ball and Chris Evans, but maybe you might indulge me a little. If as we wrap up, Brian, is there any chance you might give a bit of a thought, a message, something to consider for those who share your faith on Easter?
Well, today is a day that the world is the same as it was last night. Yet the hope in the world isn't the same. We have got to be able to look for hope. Look at your own goodness instead of looking at the mistakes you've made in life. Look at the good things in your life and thank God for those, and ask God to help you to do more good things in life. And the more good things in life there will be, the happier you will be, and the better the place that the people who meet you will be. Leave people with a happy face, with a hopeful face. Try to, wherever you see good, praise it.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.